I am hearing a heart cry in the midst of all that's going on in our world today. I'm hearing a cry in the heart of people that's deeper than ever before. I'm here. You just talk to, and sometimes you don't have to talk. You can feel the heart cry of people saying, "Lord, what is your word? What is your will? What is your way for us?" Many have described the thing they're in emotionally and in their lives and what we're seeing in our world. And I've heard people describe it, "I'm in a deep, deep, dark place." Many are in a dark place of despair, a place of desperation. I understand that cry. Somebody wrote a song some years ago. Listen to this. He said, "I'm not trying to find a new frame of mind that will change my whole point of view. For I've been through it all deep inside. Nothing's changed. I'm not new." Trying to think it away. "I'm not seeking a gift or just an emotional lift. But one thing I'm longing to do is to lift up my cup and let you fill it with more of you." And the chorus says, "More of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I want is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you." That's what a heart cry sounds like. That's what it sounds like to say more of you. To get the more of you part, our job today is to encourage you. Here's our title. And if it was up there, you'd see these two words, to go deep. Go deep. Go deep. We know in a football game, the most exciting play, hey, go deep. Go deep. Go to that post. Go deep. Well, I want to talk even more than just a game. I find out that if I go deep, he's there. And when I'm down in the deep, he is there. On both levels, he understands our heart cry right now. The big score, the big win is when we go deep. But if it's going to work in our lives, it takes more than just a cry and say, "Hey, God, I need more." It takes a commitment. In fact, if you're going to dig deep, there's some action that goes there. There's some sweat there. There's some things like that. And your hands might hurt when you've been digging for a while. Heard the story. The woman shouted to the husband. She said, "Man, I was using my broom today." She said, I got some calluses on my hand." And he was in the other room reading the paper. He said, "Well, next time take the car," he said. "And you'll get it in a minute." But we try to do things in our heart that try to make up. I want you to dig. It worked to go deep. Martin Luther said it this way. Secular repentance means just to change your mind. And that's what we're trying to, hey, be kind, it's okay, and you're smiling and draw flowers. No, secular repentance is to change your mind. But biblical repentance is to change our whole life direction. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to put these on and assume these things, but there is an action, the dig action. There is work that takes place. It means a turn. It means an about face. All life is repentance, Martin Luther said. He didn't quite understand the joy of salvation in those days. And in our quest, as we seek a deeper walk, we set ourselves apart, as Luther said, for the master. It's the chosen walk of righteousness and godliness. Now, right there, you would have a question mark come up, and it would say, what is godliness? Have you ever used words and you never stopped to look at it? Godliness is someone who takes God seriously. Godliness is someone who takes God seriously. Seriously. It's not a drive-by. It's not just some kind of affirmation. It's not a poem and a prayer and a movie review. It is putting God first, but it's deeper than that. We're serious about God. So how do we start? The first step to going deeper with anything is a faith step. Hebrews 1, it's the foundation doctrines of the church. What do we believe? Hebrews 6, verse 1. In the New King James says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God." That's a seriousness toward God. Faith is, have all the faith in the world. You don't need all the faith in the world. You need a faith that is focused toward God. That's the New King James that most of you learned as memory verse and are used to hearing. I like what the New Living says. Let us not stop going over basic teachings again and again. but let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. That's Hebrews 6:1 in the New Living. Let us spend time, dig deep, spend the time. Let us go deep instead of becoming, don't go over and over, but become mature in our understanding. We don't need to start again. And he says, and placing our faith in God. Over and over we're doing that. What's the key word, though? What's the key word? Faith is the key word of going deep. The very same book, five chapters later, is Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'm in the I'm different translations. I'll tell you of what I'm doing when I'm there. This is, I love this one. We know this one. Hebrews 11, 6. But without what? Faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. Stop right there. He who comes to God must, and in parentheses after the word must, I put, this is first. This is first. He first has to come to God. He first has to come to God. Everybody wants magic. They want tricks. They want things to change without doing something about it. But first, if you're going to do, first off, you got to come to God. How do you go deep? First, come to God. Come to God. You're walking. Come to God. And pick up the next part of that sentence. He must first believe that he is. Now stop there. You know what that really means? The New Living right there says it this way. He must believe that God exists. Come to God. Why? Do you believe it? Do you believe God exists? A lot of folk don't believe God exists. It's just another thing to add to the bag. You read the stories of the... Huh? Oh, I'm doing okay? Oh, good, thanks. It's the same story as the magician that wanted, didn't want God. He just wanted a new trick. And a lot of people want new tricks today. But first off, the first order of business of going deep in God and receiving, we must go to him. And then we must believe King James, the rewarder of those who deal. But I like the New Living. It says, we first out of the box must believe that God exists. Now, folks, I settled that a long time ago. And if you've been saved any amount of time, you should have settled that a long time ago. I'm concerned about some folks that have walked under the Word and been in the Word and done all the drills there, but yet sometimes they go, I'm not quite sure. No, there's no question. I believe that God exists. I believe that that's where I start from. That's how I answer my questions. We might not agree on these things, but I'm starting from my viewpoint. I believe God exists. That God does exist. The key word is go deep. And that he will reward those who seek him. It's a huge thing for you to say, I believe God exists. It never used to be a huge thing. We said it in school all the time. We said we did. Imagine the things that we do all the time. The things that we did all as the kids, and we never thought of it. We never thought of these things. We didn't even know if our teacher was married in grammar school. In fact, we thought our teacher just stayed there, and they put her in a closet on Friday afternoon, and then on Monday morning, we just rolled her out and put her there in the chair and gave her a bun back there like that. And we put her there, and she had the little pencils and the stars. And we didn't know she was. I remember one time we were out somewhere at a restaurant somewhere, and I saw my teacher, and she was with a man. And it was her husband. And she had children. I'm thinking, no, that's not my teacher. Now, right now, your teacher's going to come in with rainbow hair and a skirt, Mr. Peterson, and going to walk in, and they're telling you those things right now. Johnny's not old enough to make these other decisions in his life, but if he's 8, he can get some surgery. The Surgeon General says that, and you look at that crazy thing. God bless her heart, his heart. We never asked those questions, but there was a semblance of morality that we had. I was very little, but I remember vaguely when the word came in our class that the president had been shot, and our teacher prayed. I remember not too long ago, in 2001, where I did secular interviews when people were so afraid. And I prayed on secular radio. I remember standing in that stadium over there praying. I remember standing there and seeing those many of you were probably there. 10,000 people there, it looked like that night. And we were there, and they were trucking out everybody, trying to look inclusive there because they were afraid to say anything. And I remember I knew I only had one shot. And I said, and then we're talking about the great God of the universe and bringing all these other things in. And I was polite. I was respectful. Okay, that's an important thing. I was respectful. I was honoring. And before I sang God Bless the USA, I stood there and I said, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And the iman was to the left. And I said, and on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I believe that to the very core of my being. And then I sang, if tomorrow all the things were gone that I worked for all my life. I believe God exists. I hope you do too. Oh, it's okay. You believe you're doing okay. You're fine. You don't have any problem. You don't know what I go. No, in the worst times, I still believe God exists. We're living in a time today where the Christian world, I don't have time to go into it today because I feel, but I want to show something to you very, very quickly. Dr. George Barna released something very, very recently. He wrote something about among Christian pastors in the United States. Here's the, I'm not going to change unregenerated people unless they want to be changed, unless they want to receive. But the preacher dudes are the main problem why we're where we're going through what we're going through today. The survey said among Christian pastors in the United States, more than one out of three, only one out of three, 37%, possess a Bible worldview. Only one out of three in America today. Four out of 10 pastors only have, of the senior pastors, only have a worldview. It's less than that among associates. Children and youth pastors only have a 12% view, worldview of Scripture. The prevailing worldview is a syncretism, synchronizing everything that people believe. The blending of ideas and the application, forming holistic worldviews that are inconsistent with what the Word says. 54 questions were asked with related to behavior, 8 categories of belief and behavior. The results of the survey, a majority of the pastors have adopted principles in only one of the 8 categories. The minority of Christian pastors think and act biblically in relation to each other of the 7 categories. They're not even thinking biblically today in the world today. There's a worldview deficit. The lowest category that might have been expected to list is the beliefs. This is the one that scored the lowest of the questions. The belief that behaviors are related in the Bible regarding truth and morality. The worldview primarily of those who are leading churches today in America, their view is indistinguishable between non-believers in the world today. I guess they don't believe God is and that he rewards. What is godliness? Faith is fun, though. I like when it works. Today we're living, speaking of, instead of having a biblical worldview, we never were ashamed to say that as little kids. We'd say it in school. I had a fun memory the other day. I told Tyler about it. We went to the bank for something, and we were there. And I said, Tyler, I'm starting to tell those stories. We walked to school and, you know, those kind of things. Like, they only had 3 channels, and we turned it with the pliers. You know, and I'm telling him all these stories, you know. How many of you went to school and you had a bank book? Did anybody have a bank book? We went to grammar school, and on Monday, we would bring our little bank book. And if we were lucky enough to get a dollar, usually it's 10, 25 cents, and then at the end, the idea was that you'd have a little something for your vacation time. And you would bring it in, and the bank picked it up, and you did that, and they were teaching you that when you were in grammar school. Today, they walk in and ask you how much money you got, give it all to us, because they're teaching them the lesson today, right? We weren't ashamed to say we believe. We prayed. But I tell you what, I have a forward faith today. Faith is great, but faith is useless unless it's grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:17 in the New Living. And if Christ has not been raised, in other words, if he is not who he said he is, Okay, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. That's 1 Corinthians 15:17. You can say, I believe in God, but if he didn't hold true to his word, that faith is aimless. It is an empty, foolish drill here. Your faith is useless. And Paul tags it with this. It is foolish. And he said, and you're guilty of your own sins. I believe in him today. I believe in him. I believe in the resurrected Jesus. My faith starts there. I'm proclaiming something deep today. I'm proclaiming that is something that's considered unusual today. I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the most inclusionary scripture. It is the most inclusionary word that you can read and study in the entire world today. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will have you rest. He stepped over the social mores when he went to that lady and began to speak to that woman and poured his heart into her, and that lady didn't believe it at first because she said, you can't talk to me. He stepped over all of those things when his first evangelist were those two girls where she said, go and tell my disciples. And don't forget Peter. Make sure he gets this word. It's an inclusionary word. Come unto me, all have sinned. God so loved the world that whosoever, get more inclusionary than that right now. And it doesn't mean to excuse something. It means to stand on the word and let the word take care of itself. But today the church is weak, compromised, and intimidated. Writer David Platt, who writes some good books, wrote this. He said the church has been complicit in the promotion of what is called cultural Christianity. But the martyrs didn't die because they believed the gospel. They died because they proclaimed the gospel. They died because they proclaimed the gospel. They believed that he is, that he does exist. He came back as he said, and they stood on that word, and they are preaching that, and that is the word that brings offense. That is the word that brings problems. That is the word. In our trouble, we need more than just an affirmation. We need to know who he is. We need to know that God does exist. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to do a synopsis of it to kind of, because you're familiar with the concept of the scripture. In Psalm 42, I'm scanning the New King James right now. You know the great word that David says, he's talking to God. He said, as the deer pants for the water brook, my soul pants for you, O my God. My soul thirsts for God. And in the New King James, after the comma in verse 2, it says, my soul thirsts for God, comma, David says this, the living God. The living God. The living God. I believe that he is. I believe that he does exist. I believe he is who he said he is. I believe he did what he said he was going to do. I can put my weight down in that God. Never have, never will. He's never stopped. And David makes that affirmation in the living God, but David sounds like you. David sounds like me. Y'all are just going, yes, amen, I believe that. Here's David. David can do a 180 before you can even take your breath. He said, my tears, though, have been my food for day and night, he said. They continually taunt me, devilish taunt. He said, well, where is your God, David? You're going through all these kind of problems. He said, and I remember these things. He said, and I pour out my soul within me. And then he starts reminding God, God, look, nobody's been more faithful than I am. He said, these same people, he said, I used to go with them. I went to meetings with them. And in fact, he said, I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and the praise. We had such a great, great time. And then David makes another quick 180 in verse 5. He says, so why are you cast down, O my soul? Does that sound 2020? Does that sound 2021? Does that sound 2022? Lord, I just, you are the living God. Why am I so cast down? I used to do all these things, God. I've done it. And now they're taunting me. They're taunting me. Where is your God, David? Why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? And then David teaches us a lot. He teaches us a lot. You know, you ever heard those people say, well, I don't want to tell God that. Like you're keeping a secret. You know what I mean? David pours it all out. here's David's key. Here's what I want to strive for. Here's what I think you ought to shoot for, okay? It's not that you're going to have those moments, but where are you going to land after those moments? Where do you land? Where do you land when all hell breaks loose? Where do you land when there's fear in the land? Where do you land when you feel that, when you can't even, you get silent because you're afraid to even say what you believe? David said it this way. Here's where he landed. Hope in God. Hope in God. That's David says, I believe him. I believe he exists. That's how I'm going to go deep. I hope in God. I'll praise him. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down. He's not quite all there. He said, it's just so again. So again, he said, I will remember you from the land. I remember what you, the place. And actually in the scripture, he lists different places and location, geography actually in the deal. And that's David saying, I remember when you met me here. I remember when you met me here. I remember. Does anybody have any of those moments where you know God met you there? God met you there. What are you doing? What are you doing to me today? I'm encouraging you to go deep. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, but just keep digging deep. Well, how do I get there? Well, first, I have faith that I'm going to do this. Next, I trust in God because I believe who he is. And then I want to remind myself what he did. This is all you're digging right. You might not even know it. You're digging right now. And here's what he said. Verse 7 of chapter 42. Deep calls unto deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows might have gone up over me. I'm overwhelmed right now. But again, David lands back. He's going back and forth. It's a volleyball praise. He said, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. That's okay. But when it gets dark, he gets afraid in the dark. And in the night, his song will be with me. His song will be with me. Some of you are so dour. And when's the last time you sang a song? When's the last time you sang a song? And it might not be pretty. Bible says make a joyful noise, okay? It might not be, but when's the last time you were by yourself and sang a song? When's the last time you opened your mouth and sang a song? The last time. And when is the last time? So, and you need to have, you got to have that. The world understands that. They understand the power of that. That's why they're pounding with songs that lead to depression, mental illness, fear, hate, all the kind of. I had the radio came on the other day, and one of these channels with all these funny names further down the dial down there, and listen to something, and this girl, this low alto voice, and she was singing. She was depressed, and she said, I'm sad, I'm fearful my whole life, and I'm getting ready to pull over and jump off the bridge with her, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, that gets in you. But the devil knows that it's powerful because God created us that way. David began to sing unto the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. The world's known this forever. Miss Anna was teaching the little kids of Siam one day, all the king's children, and they were afraid. And she said, whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. It's cute. It might get you in out the door, but it won't sustain you. You need to have a song, my hope is in you. On Christ, the solid rock. Lord, you are, yeah, I dig to the deep. My deep fears are going to the deep place where you are to meet my need, even in that deep place he's there. David was discouraged, but notice he was remembering while he was remembering the rough times, he was also remembering the faithful times. Notice that? And your real key here is to start outweighing those things. And the natural man, it's always going to be empty, but you need to start outweighing what God has done and what God says. I'm not denying any. My head is not in the sand. Yeah, that's not good. But as time goes, the more you sing, the more that level changes. The more that level changes. And this is where you got to do some digging by yourself. You've got to work at this thing. Some of you are praying. If I told you that Jesus and all 12 of his boys were coming to your house for dinner tonight, you'd have something negative to say about that right now. Well, I'm not ready for it. Hey, he can make his own food. He brings it all right there. But if you are prone to be saying these things all the time and everything, first off, you might have to turn the news off. You might have to turn that. You might have to let the word flow. And you need to start working on that level there and let that thing start to change there. God, they did this, they say that, but my hope is in you. Lord, I remember that time they did that. But I'm going deep with you, God. You notice that there? And the more you stay up there, there, the easier it's going to get, easier for you to skip on the waves. Our believing and our expectation should be wrapped in the Word of God. David spoke faith when he was encouraging himself to trust in the name of the Lord. That's what I'm asking you to do today. Never think in your life that God's forgotten you. Never think that the rock of salvation. When you were singing those songs, I had this line. Never think that God has forgotten you. Never think the rock of your salvation has failed you. But you got to keep digging. Many are down. Even some listening to me right now, they are described the experience in their life, as I said earlier, as a deep, dark place, a place of despair. Some of you might be into desperation right now. Your souls have been cast down, but know this, that's not the final destination for the covenant kid. You're not going under for God. God rides on those waters. He's there even in those places where we can't see him. That deals with our worldview and seeing it through the lens of the gospel. Yeah, but I'm overwhelmed and it seems like I'm rocking. David wrote this in Psalm 135. He used a lot of water language and storm seas language. Psalm 135, 6, he said, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and earth, in the seas, and even in the deep places. Wow. Lord, I just feel like I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. He's there. He does what he pleases, even in the deep places. That's Psalm 135, verse 6. Look it up to make sure I didn't make it up. Here's another story, doesn't deal with David. It deals with Jesus with some humans. I'm just going to tell you the story. Luke chapter 5, multitude were pressing about Jesus to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake there, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but he looked over, and the fishermen, the boys, had already gotten out of their boats, and they were washing their nets. Let me stop right here. I looked at this, and I looked at it a long time. Notice it says he was standing there, he saw two boats, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. I wrote this sentence, important, : although they had stopped, he wasn't finished. They said, we're done for the day. He said, not so fast, boys. They were already cleaning their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Peter's. He asked him to push out a little way from land. And he sat from there and he taught the multitude. This is Luke 5. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, by the way, he'll talk to you if you shut up sometimes. In the New King James Version, he said this statement. He said, now, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. The New Living Translation says it. Well, I like what New Living said. New Living says, now, go out where it's deeper. Something's about to happen out there. Something is about to happen. Something's going on here. He's getting ready to tell him to dig a little bit deeper. Why? Because he's going to be there. And your catch is going to be there too. The key word is dig. I've been saying it. How do you dig? You search the word. You meditate on the word. You sing the word. I've already done that. You think in terms of word application. That's the problem with the preacher dudes that we read about right now. They're looking outside there. They're not putting the word as an application. They are taking this and combining the beliefs of everything there, and then at the last minute trying to put a Christian bow on top of it, and it's going to be a package that won't stay wrapped. The word view needs to be your worldview. That'd have been up there right then. Your word view needs to be your worldview. Sometimes it might not feel that way, but you got to keep doing it because it is our only final source. How do I say that? Because I come to him, I believe that he is. I believe he is who he said he is. And he moves in the deep places. Here's some scatter scriptures real quick. I'm going to give you four of them real quick if you want to write them down because I'm only going to give you a line out of each one. They're all in Psalms so that you can do that real easy. Psalm 36:6. Here's testimonies. This is the man who started our reading this morning. Here's some more affirmations. Psalm 36:6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. Oh, Lord, you preserve the man and the beast. Psalm 92, verse 5 now. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. One line says your thoughts are deep toward us. Psalm 95, verse 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, but the heights of the hills are his also. All right, those are joyful. But even in another kind of deep concept, David understood that God was in those places. Psalm 23, 4, you've said it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't get any deeper. It doesn't get any darker. It doesn't get any dangerous than that. Yea, though I walk down, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. In those deep places of blessing, that's where we find him when we dig. And in our deep places of despair, if we're seeking, looking, speaking, meditating, you're going to find him even there to lift us. Oh, he's saying, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. And also, I have not forgotten the story of the disciples that I started reading a minute ago. I didn't lose my train of thought. I just want to do that for a detour for you right now. So we pick up. Remember when he said, go out where it's deeper. Verse 5 of Luke 5. So Simon answered him, Master, we've toiled all night. We hadn't caught anything. Like Jesus didn't know that. Like, you know, can you see Jesus? Oh, good. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, man. I should have known that. How? He didn't say that at all. The boy might not have been the most educated guy in the boat, but he said the smartest thing. Nevertheless, good move, Peter. Nevertheless, at your word. When you can't see it, when you can't feel it, nevertheless, at your word. What kind of statement is that? That's a deeper statement. That's a statement that will take you deeper each time. I see here, I've done this, it's not working, but nevertheless, at your word, even when you can't see it, Lynn, I wrote that on my notes right here. He's still working. Even when you can't see it, verse 6, and it says, when they had done this, in other words, when they had done as he said, okay? So when he says, do it. Boy, that's another message. They caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. They started screaming for their partners in the other boat to come quick, help them out. They came, they filled both boats so much that it began to sink. Oral Roberts is a very famous message. I heard him preach a few times, in person a few times. And the whole title of the message was called, A Net Breaking Boat Sinking Load. That's what happens when you go deep. A net breaking boat sinking load. This is really, really cool. Then in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, I wrote in parentheses, the light came on. When he saw it, he's a genius now. He can say, oh, that's God now. He couldn't say it's God when they were cleaning empty nets. He said the light came on, and this is God love him, God love him, God love him, God love he. It's that thing that Jesus saw in him. It's that thing that pinging left and right, killing at somebody, cutting an ear off, and then he's crying and praying for somebody else. It's that thing in him that was always trying to find a little bit more of this than this in his life right there. And it said when Simon Peter saw it, verse 8, chapter 5, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He went the other direction. You got it? You talk about the personality of this guy, okay? For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And there was James was there and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their partners with Simon. But notice loving Jesus. Notice loving Jesus. You know what? If it's me, I got to have just a moment of I told you so. How many of you got an I told you so attitude, spirit right there? Some of us talked about they'd be good on a tombstone. Told you so. He said this. He said comfort words. He said comfort words. He took that moment. Again, notice there was no manipulation. If you're being manipulated by someone and there's a sincere repentance, a sincere word there, and if somebody's still wanting to dangle you over hell, that's not God. Notice what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. So he takes a comfort word, but But as a parent even, he takes that moment and he takes the comfort word. Not only does he then make it a teaching moment, he makes it a change of direction. So he says to them, don't be afraid, because from now on, you will catch men. That touched them so much, the word said. Remember when I read the word that the repentance, a secular repentance, is just trying to change our mind, but the godly repentance is actually changing our direction? This is it. It says, verse 11, when they had brought their boats to the land, because of that very word that Jesus gave, they forsook all they had and they followed him. Don't you think their spirits lifted? Something emotionally, even. It even felt good at that. And there's nothing wrong with it feeling good. It feels good sometimes. Their spirits were lifted. You know, they hadn't realized back when they met Jesus the first time that what he was going to do. And they certainly didn't recognize that when they saw Jesus just a few hours ago, that their answer, their blessing, and their future would be found in his words that brought them to a deep place. No more tiptoes, no more standing on the stumps in the deep. It took faith to go deep. Like the football, yeah, go deep. The big play, the excitement, the big score, the win. In the pressure moments. So I say to you, don't be afraid. That's what Jesus said. Same way in your walk, don't be afraid to go deep. This would be a statement you'd see on the screen right now. This has to be a real thing. This would be up here. Real faith won't be found in the frivolous. Real faith won't be found in the foolish. N.T. Wright has written some great, great books. He said this, speaking especially of contemporary culture. When Jesus' followers asked him to teach them to pray, he didn't tell them to divide into focus groups and look deep within their hearts. He said, here's what you say. Here's what he said to the boys. You follow me, and you'll be fishers of men. Back to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. God has revealed these things through his Spirit, for his Spirit teaches all things, yes, the deep things. Staying in God. So don't be cast down. David said it, and we feel that way, but don't be cast down. Remember, his next statement was, hope in the Lord. And remember the story of the disciples. Jesus said, go deep. They did. And their lives change forever. So I say to you, get ready, dig deep, go deep. Let's stand.